Kermit was my first crush ever when I was little. I'm not lying. I love Kermit.
Welcome to Off the Easel. Today you are here with Sky Becker Yamakawa and Catherine Moore. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Sky.
Hi. So tell me, what have you been working on?
So this week I'm taking a slight break doing some office reorganizing and studio cleanup because I just finished up two pieces. I dropped them off last weekend. Well, one I had to ship out and the other one I dropped off. I have the David Fincher tribute show, which is going to be opening at Gallery 1988 down in Los Angeles next week. And then we also have the portrait show at Modern Eden, which is also opening this month in June. So I had finished those up, got them out, got them ready. So this week is let's clean and reset my batteries and then I'm going to get back to work. So how about you?
I am just starting a Frida inspired piece for an annual Frida show that I'm in every year.
How fun.
I have the sketch completed and I will start executing the painting. So that'll be fun and nice.
Which annual show is it? I know there's a few galleries that do annual Frida shows.
Yeah. This one is for the Picture This gallery in Long Beach.
Oh, fun. Okay.
It's a really nice gallery. I've worked with them for years. I think the first Frida show I participated in with them was 8 years ago.
Oh, wow. And have you done it every year?
No, I did it the first year and then I didn't do it, I think, for like 5 years. After that, I just kind of got busy and lost track of it. And then I started again. And I'm really glad that I started participating again because I really enjoy working with that gallery. But
good.
Yep. So, okay. Well, we will be right back to talk about whether artists should explain their art and what that's all about. Hello and welcome back. Today, Catherine and I will be talking about artists explaining their art. So first, we're going to talk about the definition of what does that exactly mean? Well, then we'll discuss why do artists prefer not to explain their art, or maybe they like to explain it, pros and cons of doing it, and tips and tricks. So Catherine, according to The Abundant Artist, they explain that when artists are selling their art, a verbal description is just as important as the visuals. Do you agree with that?
I guess. To some extent, I don't know that I've seen a difference when I include like a written statement about the work as when I don't. I don't see a difference in terms of sales. And I guess maybe I'm projecting too much as an artist, because what I like about going to an art gallery or a museum or something like that is I love to look at a piece of work and see what it says to me and try to figure it out. And like, it's like a little puzzle, which I like doing. With my art, I really kind of, because I work more narratively. So I drive a lot of narrative or try to put a lot of narrative or symbolism into my work. So I would like, hopefully, someone to resonate with that on their own and pull from it what they think, because it might evoke different things in different people. And I'm okay with that. I just want them to find something that speaks to them. So I'm kind of on the fence of whether or not it's just as important. But what do you think about that?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about whether artists should explain their art or not. Sometimes when I see a piece, I do crave an explanation. Like I had seen the Edward Munch. He had an exhibit at the SF MoMA that we saw. And I liked, of course, you know, I always liked The Scream and his other pieces. That's the most notable one, I think, that I could think of off the top of my head, at least. And so we saw his exhibit and it was very haunting. And so I read the explanation behind his pieces And I believe there was a death in his family, and the pieces that he did, he was showing the spirit, the ghost of the person who had died in the background, in floating somewhere in the people standing over the bed or in different scenes. And he kept repeating the same image, and they sort of evolved. And then I think the scream, as I recall, was sort of a transition to that painting. And there was multiple screen paintings as well. And the explanation really moved me and took me to another place in understanding and appreciating his artwork.
Right. And that makes total sense to me. Like I was saying, it was like, I have like a personal thing. And I realized that sometimes as humans, we do this sometimes, that I just project onto others. It's like, oh, because I like this, everyone likes that. I know it's not true. I know I've been at shows where people have like, oh, tell me about your artwork, you know, and then I have to explain it. And, or maybe it's just my inner introvert just going, I don't really want to talk to people.
Well, yeah. The definition of what does that mean when an artist explains their art? And I think the definition could be broad. I think it could mean like an artist could be explaining why they create what they create at all. It could be as simple as, what are the objects in your painting, or what are different items that you include repetitively in multiple pieces? Or it could mean a very specific explanation of a certain painting.
Right.
Somebody says, can you explain your art? You know, you could go into your elevator pitch, right? Go into a 5-minute, well, I paint what I paint because blah, blah, blah.
So have you ever created something and without really having a meaning behind it? Like you're just painting it? Yeah.
Oh, of course. And that kind of goes into the why do artists prefer not to explain their art? Because you don't know when somebody asks you, and you don't want to say like, yeah, I painted Darth Vader because I think he's really cool. Right. And you don't want them to think like, oh, they're so shallow.
Well, I think there's also sometimes that's one of the myths about artists is that we always have something to say and we're always so deep. And I don't know that that's always true. Literally, I was like, I will say I did a collaboration with another artist who is also my best friend, but we did a collaboration piece once and we just painted it because we thought it was cool looking. And then after we painted it, we started looking at it and we literally came up with a backstory after it was done. So there wasn't really meaning going into it, but we had meaning coming out of it. It was like, we looked at it, it was like, oh, this means this. And so then when someone at the show would ask us about it, we would explain, well, this is the meaning of this, but we had no intention of that.
That brings us to why do artists prefer not to explain their art? Because I tend to hear that more often than not, that artists prefer not to explain their art. Why don't you give an example of why an artist might not want to explain their art?
We've talked on the podcast before, but I think there's a lot of artists are pretty introverted. There's some that are really extroverted and they're great and they're fabulous and they will talk about their art till the cows come home. I think that a lot of artists, is at least the artists I know, tend to be a little more introverted and they just don't like to put themselves out there to talk to people in general. And that goes into, I think a lot of artists, well, at least I know, including myself, have social anxiety. We're second guessing ourselves, or, you know, we don't want to sound stupid. If something we've created maybe is darker, like you were saying, when you were talking about Edvard Munch, about there was a death in the family and this meant this, maybe someone would like, oh, a death. I don't want to buy something with death. So maybe you might turn off a potential buyer or something who saw something completely different in the painting. When my friend and I did the collaboration, we were just painting it because we were cool. And now we're like, oh, I don't know why we did it. It just looks cool. A lot of painters, I think they're just, you know, they just want to create work and make it look fabulous. And maybe they have their own thing in there. They might think that putting that on the canvas or whatever medium they use, that's them putting their voice out and it doesn't need further explanation.
And I think sometimes when you create something, I might have a general idea why I'm creating it, but I might not know the full extent of what the different objects that I gravitated towards, and I put in the painting why I put them there. And then after it's complete and I look at, you have to take a moment, think about it, and be like, oh, that's why I use
it. Yeah, like you're pulling stuff from your subconscious and you might not realize that, oh, I'm putting this there because I was feeling this or I was thinking of this. But sometimes it's really going with the flow and not, you're in the zone, like just not thinking. Yeah.
Right. It's more intuitive. So according to The Guardian, this was scathing. It said, it is a vice of a second-rate art to come with its own eloquent explanation attached. If an artist can translate the meaning and purpose of work into easily understandable words, it means one of two things. Either the artist is lying in order to ease the way with patrons and funders, or the artist is a fool. No serious art is easy to interpret, nor is there ever a single valid interpretation of art. If art is good, there are many things to be said about it and much that will remain unsayable. So that was scathing.
Scathing. I was like, wow. That says to me that they're saying, at least The Guardian saying, is like, you shouldn't have to explain it. It should just be its own thing. That if you haven't, if you have people that don't get something from it, then you haven't created the art properly.
I think that they had gone on in the article later to say that a lot of galleries require an explanation in order to explain it to their buyers. And of course, museums, when you look at artwork, always have explanations about the pieces. That leads us to, well, what are the pros of giving an explanation about your piece? So one of them is you give your audience more insight into you and your artwork. There's a lot of people who find the art world snooty, and they might feel like when they walk into a gallery that it's scary. They don't want to walk into a gallery because they don't really understand art. But if there's an explanation on a painting, then they feel like, oh, now I understand it. So that's a big pro. And it also could be potential sales, because a lot of galleries do ask for that and museums do. Can you think of any other pros?
And it depends upon if we're talking about individual pieces or if we're talking about our body of work as a whole, and that kind of goes into the artist statement. And I do think it's important to have an artist statement or in your bio or something, just to give, if someone's never seen your work before, doesn't know anything about you, I think it's important to have something that they can go, oh, this person does this. And then that might pull them into your work. It's less important and maybe less of a pro just for an individual piece, because we've kind of been in that zone talking about individual pieces. But I do think it's important to be able to explain yourself as an artist, to be able to talk about why you create and maybe what you create to some extent.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, which goes back to that on your website, you should have, and for galleries, when you are submitting work to them, they often want a statement or a bio. So you do need to be able to explain something about what you create in some capacity. Some of the cons are that some people like to enjoy the art for what it is. They don't want an explanation because they just want to appreciate it for what they see and what they feel. There was this other thing, a historical thread behind the need or no need for artists to explain their work goes back to an essay that was written in 1967. The essay was Death of the Author by a French literary critic, Roland Barthes. He was writing primarily about literature, and the influence over the field of art has been equally strong. And in the essay, Barthes warns against the danger of explaining the artist's life of a definitive connotation of the work, explaining that a work of art is a space of many dimensions. And the unity of text is not in its origin, it is in its destination. In other words, it is the reader or viewer who makes the final sense of the work. So I think he was saying that ultimately the viewer is making sense of the work regardless of what it is said, and that the piece could have multiple dimensions, which I completely agree with.
Right, which is kind of what we were talking about earlier. I want the viewer to resonate with a piece on their own terms, whatever that is. And I think maybe some explanation is good, but you don't want to over explain it. Because I think then they'll go, well, that's not what I got from this at all. And now I don't want it. Like we were talking about earlier. I think it is important that the viewer answers their own questions they have and resonates with that piece in particular.
So tips and tricks. So one article I read said that you do a piece and it's in a show, you should think of, in terms of how to explain it, that you're explaining it to five different people, one being a non-artist friend, one being an artist friend, a curator, a neighbor, and your grandma. So you'd have to think, how would you describe or explain your piece to those five individuals?
Huh. Interesting.
It said that if you find yourself at a loss for words, to fall back on your process. That kept coming up a lot in a lot of the articles, that if you just, you had difficulty explaining your work, maybe got flustered, whatever it was, that you could talk about your creative process and maybe how you came up with the images or what you created or how you were feeling when you created it.
Right. Okay.
Another tip was to mention influences or inspiration. And the another one was to bring up meaningful aspects in the piece.
Okay. Yeah, that all makes sense.
But I think it's just hard in general if you were to explain art to a non-art friend. I mean, even my brother, who's younger than me, he appreciates art, but I don't really know if he would go out of his way to purchase original art. I don't even know how I would explain a piece to him if he wanted to even hear about it. That's a really good skill to have if you can do that successfully.
You do what I do and create mostly pop culture art.
Okay, well, we will be right back to talk about art news. Hello and welcome back. Today we have our art news segment in which we were going to talk about the Jim Henson exhibit, Imagination Unlimited, at the Jewish Contemporary Art Museum. Did I say that right?
Yeah, the Contemporary Jewish Museum. Yeah.
Said all the right words in the wrong order.
Yeah, exactly.
So I haven't seen the show yet. It already opened though.
Yes. I have not seen it yet either, and I am dying to go.
Yeah, it says that the show delves inside the mind of the Muppets creator Jim Henson, promising to be an exhibition for more than just the kid in you. I guess the show focuses on Henson and a world builder and project ranging from The Muppet Show, Sesame Street, and fantasy films such as Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. And they say, although Henson was not Jewish, because it's in the Contemporary Jewish Museum, they see his work as part of the tradition of Tikkun, T-I-K-K-U-N, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, in Jewish culture, striving to behave justly and to the benefit of society.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here going, I have so many people that want to go to this that I say, oh my gosh, I've shared it with. I was like, this is coming. And it was like, oh, I want to go. And I think it's just, do I want to go several times? I probably will. Have you seen any of Jim Henson's creations in person?
I haven't. I thought that there was a Jim Henson exhibit in LA a few years ago. And somebody who I know on social media had posted pictures of it and it looked incredible. I mean, it was just like, oh my God, I want to see that. But I don't think this is the same exhibit. I was hoping it was.
Probably not. I mean, I don't know because I didn't hear about the one in LA. I have seen when I was in DC several years ago, we visited there and we went to the Smithsonian. He had Kermit. Kermit was my first crush ever when I was little. I love Kermit. I like actually for my birthday this past year, because it was my 50th, my mother found an old 19, I think it in the 70s, they had a Kermit doll and he had his little like hands and feet stuck together with Velcro. And I used to have one. And over the years, it got lost somewhere in the many moves we had. And I didn't have it anymore. And it was one of my favorite things when I was little. Well, she found one for me in like mint condition. This thing is so awesome. He's got the googly eyes, this hard plastic googly eyes, which we would never include on a child's toy in, you know, this day and age. But Kermit, I just love him. I don't know what else to say, but I have heard tell that Kermit will be making an appearance at this particular exhibition and Count Von Count because...
Oh, he will.
Yes. Were you a Sesame Street fan?
I did watch Sesame Street as a kid and I had all my kids watch it. I don't remember. I guess Elmo had to have been for the oldest, but he wasn't as popular as he got later. The youngest one loves, she said, I love Elmo. Okay.
Yeah. Well, my son was really into Elmo. And I think he's a little bit older than your daughter, maybe a couple years older. Yeah, because he had the Tickle Me Elmo. He loved it.
That's right. We had a Tickle Me Elmo and a Potty Elmo. And I think we have an Elmo collection as well now.
Yeah, Elmo was beyond my time. It was like we had Kermit and the Count and Cookie Monster and Harry Monster and Grover. And I all those characters are still make appearances. Does Kermit still appear? No, he doesn't appear on Sesame Street anymore.
No, I think the exhibit in LA had Ernie. And we have a Sesame Street CD, compact disc. Some people listening say, what is that?
What?
It's Sesame Street songs. And I was listening to it with my daughter and I realized that Ernie and Kermit sound the same. I guess it was the same voice sometimes.
Well, Ernie, they were both Jim Henson.
Originally. Then later. Yeah. And then later was a different person, I guess, who did both. And then they had two different people. But they were singing. I think Ernie was singing a song. And I was like, this doesn't sound like Rainbow Connection, but that sounds like Kermit. I got confused. And then I realized that they could have been voiced by the same person.
Oh, it's so interesting, like seeing his change. Because when he started the Muppets, I mean, they were very adult. The Muppets were originally very adult. Kermit was very adult. So a documentary just came out not too long ago that was about the Children's Television Workshop. And when they started, then they brought in, you know, Jim Henson and Frank Oz and all that. And they brought in the Muppets to help teach kids. And I thought that was very successful. My dad, who was a lifelong teacher, swears up and down that the reason that I was smart was because of Sesame Street. I started reading when I was young, and I was reading before my parents knew I was reading. They just thought that I memorized books. I don't know why they thought.
Well, that's how it starts sometimes.
Yeah. But that's what they thought, is that I was just really, I just had a really good memory. Until one day after my sister was born, I would have been 4. My mother was in the background and I was sitting there with a Pampers box in front of me. And I called my mom. I said, I know how to change the baby. And she said, what? And I said, I know how to change the baby. And she's like, how do you know? And I started reading the directions off the Pampers box. And she's like, oh, you can read. Yeah, been telling you.
Oh my God.
But yeah, but I was an avid watcher of Sesame Street. I used to dream of going to work for the Creature Shop when I was younger. Like, I was just like, I just want to do that. And then of course, you know, as you get older, your dreams change or morph a little bit. I always wanted to be a creator, but yeah. And then, you know, he did the Muppet Show, which of course I loved because Kermit starred in it. And then all of the Muppet movies and then Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal, of course, just spoke to me. And now, Fraggle Rock. Did you watch Fraggle Rock? Have you seen the new Fraggle Rock?
I haven't. I think the first Fraggle Rock, I think that's what we exposed my brother to. But yeah, is the new one good?
Oh my God. If you liked the original series, you will love this one. I clap and sing. Yeah, I'm such a dork. I'm really nerdy, you guys. I'm super nerdy.
Where can you see the new Fraggle Rock?
Is that one on HBO? Or is it on Apple TV? See, the original was on HBO and now I'm like, oh, it's HBO. But now I'm thinking it's on Apple. Look on one of those two because it's on there. Look for the new Fraggle Rock. It's fabulous. Love it.
I will. Okay, well, that concludes our episode.
As Jim Henson once said, when I was young, my ambition was to be one of the people who made a difference in this world. My hope is to leave the world a little better for having been there.
Cool. So where can we find you online?
You can find me online at teancanvas.com. That's TEACANVAS with an and in the middle of that. And then you can shop at shopteancanvas. And I'm online on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at teancanvas.
Cool. And you can find me at skiesart.com. And that's the SKYE spelling, as well as Skies Art Shop on Instagram. And you can also follow Off the Easel podcast on Instagram, and please like and follow our podcast wherever you listen to it. Well, thank you for listening. Stay safe and happy creating.